This episode of the Road Dirt Podcast is brought to you by Chuck Watwood and the good folks at Lawbike. You can find them at lawbike.com. Welcome to Road Dirt, the podcast of Road Dirt Motorcycle Media and RoadDirt.tv, your down-home grassroots motorcycle brand, covering what we like to call ride life. This is Rob Brooks, your host. Thanks for tuning in. And on this special episode, I had the opportunity to travel to Goshen, Indiana, way up the top of the state up there, a little town, and to interview and spend some time with Richard Warsham, the president of Janus Motorcycles. That's J-A-N-U-S, Janus Motorcycles. And their team up there, about 30 or 40 people that hand-build these vintage looking older, like they look like they're 100 years old, but with modern components, little Halcyon 250 and 450 motorcycles and a Griffin 250. There's a lot of history behind the name of the company, as well as the names of their motorcycles, these small displacement motorcycles that are very reminiscent of bikes back in the 19-teens and 1920s. And like I say, all modern components, and a lot of which they manufacture and machine themselves. It's quite a story. So let's begin. We jump right into the interview. The audio, I'm gonna have to crank up the audio a little bit because we had a boom mic on a camera that we were using. So it'll sound a little bit echoey because we actually recorded it in the lobby of their main facility. So it's a little bit echoey. But it was a great interview and a great time with these folks. And great motorcycles that they're putting out, building them the old-fashioned way, one bike at a time, with components that they manufacture themselves. It's quite a story. So here we are, interview with Richard Warsham. Hey, this is Rob with Road Dirt, and I am in Goshen, Indiana, with Richard Warsham of Janus Motorcycles, a small outfit building very unique motorcycles here up in the Great Lakes area. Richard, man, it is so good to finally meet you. I've been following you on Instagram and other sites for a couple of years now, and to be here actually in the Janus Moto facilities is really cool. Good to be here with you.
Good to have you up here. Glad we can make it work.
Yeah, I am too, man. I'm excited for a few days getting to talk about the bikes, ride on them for a day or so, and get to chat you up and pick your brain about a few of these. Yeah. So. How long has Janus been, how long have you guys been in existence? When did you launch?
Yeah, we launched in 2011, which makes us going on 12 years of this December, I guess.
And you've always been right here in Goshen.
Yeah, we're actually in this building. It wasn't the whole building, but we were in the one bay in the back, and we gradually kind of annexed it more and more of it until a couple of years ago we bought the building.
And now there's a little window right here. I thought I first pulled up and I thought, was this a bank at once?
It's got a vault too. It's not a bank. Not a bank. A dry cleaner.
Oh, okay.
And so the vault where they kept the furs.
Oh wow. There's history about the brand, but there's history in the building there.
No, but I think having been lucky enough to find ourselves in this building is really a big part of our story.
Yeah.
We're right behind the theater.
Yep.
We're right behind the coffee shop, the record store, across from the city hall, police station's right next door. We are in the heart of Goshen, and that is what we're doing.
And this is the coolest little town, man. I told them I'm a Georgia boy, you know, down in the deep south, and yet driving through this gorgeous little old town, it's like Mayberry RFD up here by the Great Lakes. It's a beautiful town. Just a cool place for a motorcycle company to be existing, yeah. Now, you're actually not originally from here. You're a transplant yourself, aren't you?
I am a transplant. I fell in love with the upper Midwest, but I'm from Virginia originally. Yeah. Came out here to go to school, a little east of here, and fell in love with the town and the people and the community, really.
Now, how did you get the concept? How was Janus Motorcycles conceived in your heart and in your mind?
I think many kids draw pictures of, especially boys probably, drawing pictures of things, and I don't know if I actually considered I would really do it, but have a motorcycle or a car company,
Even as a kid.
Yeah. I think it's not super unusual, but that dream I went to school for literature, and I was off on another trajectory, and then I bought a vintage bike, old two-stroke moped, and brought that out here. That's my only means of transportation. Little understanding the upper Midwest and lake effect snow and all that stuff. Owning that bike in that small displacement, small Italian bike, that I kind of fell in love with, not the motorcycle as much as riding.
Just riding
with other people and wrenching with other people because it was always breaking down. And that was like, that's what I fell in love with. And then we started souping them up and making extra aftermarket parts for them. And that's when we started realizing that this area has this absolutely incredible wealth of craftsmanship. And then, I don't know if you can see it up above me, but that bike up on the wall up there is the first bike we built. Not under the Janus name, but as an idea of building a bike from scratch. Uh-huh. And through building that, we thought, oh wow, we can make a frame, fuel tank, all the parts we need. And that was really the springboard for launching the actual Janus motorcycles.
So he had a dream as a kid to one day build motorcycles and have a motorcycle company. And dude, you have made your dream come true.
Yeah.
It is awesome, man. What a great one there. The name Janus, as I see on, where's the name come from?
Janus is, how should I start the story? We were looking for names.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of motorcycle brands that aren't around
hundreds
anymore.
over the years, hundreds and hundreds.
So many names have been taken. So we decided, actually, we were going to be Paragon, which is that is up there on the wall.
Yeah.
And we realized there was some little bits of conflict there with that one. So we were looking for something unusual. And having studied in Rome, I was familiar with this Roman god. He's uniquely Roman, not a Greek god. And he has two faces, one looking to the past and one looking to the future. Hmm. And he presides over like doorways, like January is the beginning and end of the year. That's Janus. It's named after Janus.
How about that?
Kind of cool. And it's also the god of the road because of that.
He was the god of the road.
Beginnings and ends.
Beginning.
And so we thought,
cool name for a motorcycle.
Exactly what, but it's also looking to the past and the future, exactly what we're trying to do with our bikes. So we thought it was very fitting. It tied in with my kind of, you said you're a history buff.
I love history.
So it tied in with that for me, so it's great.
History nerds unite. But that's a cool way that I can understand the name. Now, speaking of, when you talk about kind of connecting the past, looking into the past while you're looking into the future, when I look at the design of these, there are several old bikes that come to mind. I mean, the old classic Bruff Superior comes to mind, and some of the other, early 1920s, maybe a little bit into the early 1930s. I can see design cues from the very early years of motorcycling. What were some of your inspirations?
Well, you mentioned Bruff. Certainly that long, low fuel tank.
Bruff, Superior SS.
The cut back on it. That was definitely something we were looking at.
And that tank shape, just that long tank shape.
There were some early Triumphs that had very similar fish mouth front of the tank that we were looking at. Flat tank kind of look.
Right.
But if you look at some of our later bikes, like you see some Vincent, it's kind of a little bit of everything. Certainly really heavily looking at early American motorcycle designs as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's definitely some sport bike details in there if you look around. I mean, we were looking at the whole package. Even the fork system, that leading link, that's a 1950s and 60s. That's not 1920s.
So that's true.
It's kind of an amalgamation.
Looking at this one right here.
Yeah.
We'll show some close-ups of these.
But I think one thing that we've, I've always, being a fan of history and of historic bikes, we're not trying to recreate a bike from the 1920s. What we're trying to do is capture what those bikes were able to capture in terms of this sort of impractical concentrations, less on the specifications, more on the experience.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really all about, is we're trying to create a motorcycle that heightens and augments the sensation of riding. Yeah. And the sensation of riding is not one of extreme comfort and of having it drive itself. It's you got to be engaged, you got to be involved, and you want to. It should introduce you to new people. And one of the things about these bikes is they gather a crowd, and you're always going to have a conversation wherever you stop. So it's a great way to all the good things in motorcycling we're trying to kind of distill. And they're not like a lot of other bikes, and so it's not going to appeal to everyone.
Right.
But hey, it's a big world for everybody can ride their own kind of bike.
That's a ride life story right there, big time. So you got some of the names of the bikes are like, you know, they're the Griffin.
Yeah, I got my Griffin shirt on.
You got the Griffin 250 on right there. That's like your on and off road bike, kind of a.
Yeah, it's like a scrambler.
Kind of a scrambler.
It's like I say, it's more a scrambler than a dual sport because it's like a. Old scramblers were basically road bikes that had knobby tires and a half pipe.
Yep.
They're not dedicated dirt bikes, but it's more than happy on a gravel road or a fire trail or whatever.
So you got the Griffin. I know the early one of the earlier models was called the Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Then you've got the Halcyon. Halcyon is seemed like I looked it up as a type of bird.
They're all mythological.
Birds.
Mythological birds.
Okay.
But the Halcyon. There's a lot of different meanings around it, but basically it weeps over times past. And it's kind of like it also speaks to these kind of golden, or like a golden days in the middle of winter, mm-hmm. or the Halcyon days. So it's just kind of a remembrance of.
And yet it harkens forward to the days when spring will
you
come
got it.
In the new year.
You got it. Looking both ways.
Isn't that cool? And you know, and that's on, it got a 250 version of that, and now the 450.
Yeah, we just launched the 450 version of the Halcyon, and that one, that's just a all-around faster, more powerful, but it's still carrying forward that same DNA that went back to our 50cc Halcyon, which we started with.
The very first one that they started with, and we started building them, you and a partner.
That's
you
right.
And one, who was the other guy? You,
Devin.
You
I'm
and Devin
with.
Built them together, just one bike at a time, back
yep.
in the back here, man, way back in the day.
Yep.
And look what they're doing now. So now, speaking of DNA, what is the philosophy behind what you guys do? What do you see to be the, I don't know what I'm asking here, a philosophy of what kind of a culture or community or, you know, around Janus are you trying to build? What's kind of your driving? Because I can see that you're not really thinking in terms of we're going to build a massive plant, you know, and just turn out hundreds of thousands of motorcycles or something like that. You have a different philosophy entirely.
Yeah, well, I was talking just now about like the sensation of riding.
Yeah.
And that's central to what... And we haven't been able to put words to it necessarily in years past, but we're getting better at understanding what we're doing. But if we look back and just know, that's what we've been doing all along. And I think that that's what our bikes were trying to do. That's the kind of people we're trying to attract are people that want to do that. Mm-hmm. But as far as the kind of company, like I think is what you're getting at, like we want to be like this, downtown Goshen. We'd love to be making more. You know, I think we could easily be making thousands of bikes a year and be able to maintain the passion and enthusiasm and ability to connect with our owners that we do now. But that's what we pride ourselves on, and I think that's what makes us different. That's what Honda can't. They can't do that.
Well, that's not their model.
Exactly, but
you're a different model.
We can do something that we can offer something that no other large manufacturer can. So. We want to maintain that.
So I think if I read you right, rather than just mass production of multiple models, things like that are all the same, you guys really want to have a connection with not just your customers, but they're really your community. By, you know, somebody will order a motorcycle, and you guys will build it and accessorize it and set it up for them. You're building a bike for an individual rather than just filling up a showroom with bikes you've built all the same, and then people can come in and select what they want. Yours is a very individual, one-to-one
relationship. Yeah, and one of the things I would say is that not only that, but we don't change the models that much.
Yeah.
And there's part of that is because you know, we're a small company, we can't afford to read, you know, come out with a new version every year. But
yeah,
there's also an intentional aspect to that, which is that, you know, that it's just kind of like we're constantly honing this vehicle. It's kind of like Morgan cars in England. Like, you know, it's like you just kind of make it a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And then when we come up with upgrades, we always try and make them retrofittable. So somebody who's had one for 5 years, hey, they came out with this. I want to put that on my bike and update it. And so we really do want them to be things that it's not something like you have to constantly be buying the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
It's something that is going to last a long time. And you know, we'll probably dig into that a little bit. But some of the materials we use, the way we try and make things, really trying to focus on durable, long-lasting heirloom quality item that will last a really long time. So
each bike is hand-built one at a time that you guys, you build it. And, you know, as parts come in and assemble it, and when it's done and it's ready and it's been tested, you know, the owner picks it up and joins the Janus community.
Yeah, we say welcome to the family.
Welcome to the family. Yeah, it is, too. From what I gather, Janus owners are more than just like, you know, a riders group or a club or something like that. They, you know, they really act like an extended family, and the unifying DNA thread is this Janus motorcycle.
It's a pretty passionate group.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say Honda, you meet the nicest people on a Honda. We say you meet the most interesting people on a Janus.
So, yeah, a friend of mine, actually, Matthew Miles with Revit, actually says where he used to live in Southern California, he had a neighbor that had two of them.
Really?
And the dude just rode them. Rode the snot out of him. He loved them.
That's wonderful.
You know, and of course, Mark Zweig, you know, who's with you guys now. Mark just loves the one he has. He says, I've owned a lot of motorcycles over the years, over 300. He says, I will die with the Janus still in my garage. I love that bike. So, now what plans do you guys have for the future? You know, as far as you kind of answered it in a sense, you know, as far as future hopes, future dreams, you know, what are some of your goals for the company?
Yeah, so I did speak a little bit to that. Like we could see ourselves making quite a few more bikes a year, but probably on the trajectory we're going on. When we launched the 450 Halcyon, we brought all the chassis fabrication in house, and we actually brought our fenders manufacturing, which is, if you know anything about making fenders, it's pretty amazing that we can make all of them ourselves. Nice. One guy makes all the fenders. Brent. But basically, I think that that's kind of one of the things we're really looking at is bringing more and more of this operation in-house. You know, we'll probably always be using this network of vendors for a lot of the stuff we do, but I can see us bringing a lot more in-house and expanding production, but we'll always be in this building. Our fabrication shop is about 5 minutes south of here, still within the city limits in an old historic manufacturing facility. So,
do you ever see franchising? As far as the reason I'm asking is because us people down in the south, you know, we'd love to have a place where we could go buy, we could test ride a Janus, other parts of the country too, and then buy one, you know, through a local dealership or a local.
I don't think we could be probably selling thousands without some sort of dealership model, which we'll be working toward. We're actually poking at that right now. We have a couple of spots, Arkansas, St. Louis, where we're soon and done in Arizona.
Yeah.
But we're still figuring it out.
Oh, yeah.
And it makes, you know, it's so easy to build the bike for the customer. People, that's just been our business model so far. So people like to do that. But we're, to get to that level, we'll definitely need to be a little more available.
I understand.
So,
But you're building great motorcycles, and I'm thrilled to be able to be here, thrilled to get to ride several of them, and I'm thrilled just to hang out with one of the most unique motorcycle companies in America for what you guys are doing and your model, your philosophy. You're kind of looking to the past as inspiration, but looking to the future and, you know, inviting future generations to ride the sport that we all love so much.
Yeah.
You know, so good deal, man. Let's go ride with you. Yeah, thank you.
Sounds
appreciate
great.
It.
Well, after our discussion, Richard and I went for a day's worth of riding. He hopped on at one of his Halcyon 250s, and I hopped on one of their 450s, and we took off out into Amish and Mennonite country, which is for miles and miles and miles around, is outside of Goshen. And swapped halfway through part of the morning, and I hopped on the 250 and him on the 450, and he was showing me a lot of the similarities, the differences. And then they let, as we came back, we ate a lunch, and then they let me just take several of their other bikes out for spin. I took the Scrambler, which is their Griffin 250, higher suspension, did some dirt road riding with it in the area, and just really spent a day enjoying their motorcycles and enjoying their model. They're building these 100-year-old looking motorcycles with a 100-year-old personal touch and hand-built model that I just think is fantastic. And so I really enjoyed our time with them. And if you're interested in more about Janus Motorcycles, you can look them up at janusmotorcycles.com. That's J-A-N-U-S Motorcycles, janusmotorcycles.com. And try out their configurator when you get into one of the models there. One of the Halcyon models or the Griffin model, you can actually configure it to your liking. And they've got a great, very interactive website, and they got a great model, and I hope they do really well in the years to come. I hope they continue to expand and actually can be carried in dealerships around the United States, because I think they've hit a nerve. I think that type of motorcycle and that type of vibe, I think, is needed in motorcycling. So I wish them all the best. Well, check us out on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Road Dirt TV. We have a YouTube channel, also called Road Dirt TV. And our main media site, our main media, we call our e-magazine, is roaddirt.tv. Check out all the latest and greatest stories and reviews and everything out there on roaddirt.tv. Well, this is Rob. Until next time, wishing you a ride life.